Teeny time.
It's not teeny time tonight.
Oh, how I miss teeny time.
I miss teeny time too, but like it's a Monday.
And I'm drinking a fucking milk tea.
This is like Starburst flavored water, but mm-hmm. It looks like a little fun drinky.
It's a little sober night on the pod. Cheers
to episode 21.
21.
There's zero satisfying clink noise whatsoever.
I feel like a little kid. There's like a panda bear on the front of this. Okay, so you guys might be wondering, if you're watching the podcast on YouTube, why the heck am I sitting on a pillow? Well, because I'm short as fuck, okay? And because we're wearing our new hats, our new merch. You can check out our merch at www.badtherapypod.com. They're super cute. I honestly haven't taken this hat off since I got it. It says, "You need a lobotomy."
Yeah, like they're really flattering. The girls that don't like normally like to wear caps, these are super, super
cute. Yeah, no, trucker hats, perfect for summer. The reason that we came up with this idea to make these was because I was looking for a new trucker hat for summer, because I swear they always look so cute on everyone. And I was like, I want one that represents Bad Therapy Podcast, but we didn't want them to be like screaming Bad Therapy branding in your face. So we added a couple little punny jokes on the front.
Fun little twists.
Madison says teeny time.
Teeny time.
With a martini with a bunch of olives, because we like our martini. Like we like our
lobotomies.
Extra dirty.
Very aggressive.
Okay, very aggressive. And yeah, if you guys want to check them out and support the podcast, then definitely go check them out. www.badtherapypod.com, because some whore already took badtherapy.com. So yeah, you have anything you want to add?
Just that we hope to release more merch in the future. We want to do t-shirts, sweatshirts, crew necks. So yeah. Just keep an eye out for that stuff. Our first release is the day that this podcast comes out, Friday, May 3rd. And that's just going to be the trucker hats. But keep an eye on the website in the future, because we're going to be releasing new products.
Yeah, and all proceeds will obviously be going back into the podcast. So if you want to help support, we would appreciate that so much. And you get to rock really cute trucker hats.
Super
so.
Cute.
Yeah. Go get one. All right, moving right along. So I feel like our first topic kind of relates to us releasing merch in a sense, because it's funny to see who supports you and who doesn't, like from our personal lives since we've started this podcast. And I actually had, there's some girl that we've went to high school. She's been so supportive since the beginning through everything we've done. And she actually asked me the other day, because I was thanking her for being so supportive. I was like, we really appreciate it. And you know, we haven't felt any fake vibes, like nothing but love coming from this bitch, I swear to God. And she asked me, she was like, I was wondering if you guys had noticed since you guys started this, if anyone had been giving like jealous vibes or not supporting you vibes. And I was like, of course, I feel like it's super obvious. And we notice these things, like who's there, but not really there.
Like the fake support, like the, oh, good for you.
Yeah, but like not going to buy a hat.
Praying for your downfall. Yeah.
Not like reposting, not listening, not watching the pod. Like not like we need everyone to support us in this, this and that. But you can tell when the vibes are just a little bit sus. You know what I'm saying?
You can tell when someone is actually supportive. And they're only being supportive because like that's the right thing to do, or like they have to say something about it, but they're not actually invested in your success.
Yeah. Like another way to phrase this or look at it is, I've noticed since our podcast has started to like gain some traction, certain people start coming out of the woodwork with, hey, I can help you with this, or hey, like great job here, or just trying to get like a piece of the pie, it seems like. And I'm like, where were you when we first started, when no one was really following us? Everyone was kind of like, what the fuck are you doing? And what if this podcast didn't gain traction? Would you be supportive, or are you just like jumping on the bandwagon?
Yeah. And like, we've definitely had some authentic people wanting to reach out and help us as well, but we've had some extremely non-authentic.
Yeah, like
too.
We can tell the difference. And that's the thing about like, and this is what I told the girl that asked me, I was like, don't worry, like we keep mental note, not even on purpose, but it's just like, how do you not take note of that when you notice someone being trying to get a piece of the pie or not being an authentic, genuine supporter? Like they just are here because they see what's happening and they don't want to not be included on the ride up, which no.
Well, and I think that's the thing about it. In anything in life, in any friendships, when you start winning at something, when you start becoming really successful at something, you're going to notice who your real friends are really quickly, because yeah. People get catty and petty and jealous. And, you know, when you're just starting out at something and you're not super successful, you know, of course you're going to feel that support. But when you actually start to do well, especially when you maybe weren't expected to, mm-hmm. or there was a lot of negativity that was put towards like what you're doing or how you're doing it. Maybe you're doing something outside the box. You were already insecure about it. Mm-hmm. And your friend's like, no, you're fine. You can do it. Mm-hmm. But like,
do they really feel that way?
And then when you actually do it, there's nothing but like a resentful support. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can feel that, like, oh wow, like
that's so
congrats.
Cool.
Like,
well, and this is something. So, like, I've been on social media throughout the years. Like, I did ASMR. Like, I've made music, and it's so funny because whenever I post on platforms where I don't have any followers that know me, like for example, YouTube was a lot of people that were just strangers. That is where I received the most love and support. Versus when I would post on Instagram, still to this day, all of the people that follow me for the most part are people that personally know me.
Yeah.
And that is where crickets, like, yep. No one supports, no one is like excited to see me win, excited to support me or get me to like a place where I am winning. But then when I go to a platform where nobody knows me, those are like the strangers are the ones that want to see me winning. And it's
like, who are like liking, commenting, watching, like the most supportive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they like, they're not doing it because they're your friend. They're doing it because they're actually supportive.
Yeah. And there's no jealousy on their end because they don't know you. Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? Not like saying that people are jealous, but it's natural. And like, I've been a victim of being jealous of these things too. And I think like, I don't know if we talked about this on another pod or if it was just something that we discovered and we were chatting about like on our own time, but I've definitely been through the feelings of jealousy, seeing people succeed, not like where I'm not supportive or where it's like to a toxic level. I think it's normal. I think a healthy level of jealousy is good in life because it helps you push yourself to new like heights and stuff. But I remember feeling that and having to like self-reflect and analyze why, like what about what they're doing was making me feel that way. And it was because, why am I not doing that?
Why can't I do it? Why didn't I do it?
They're doing this. Well, I should be doing that. And like, you almost, it's like within yourself, you feel like you should be doing more. Like you could have done that, but like, why aren't you doing
it? If someone I know and I'm close with could do it, why didn't I do it?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you said. You have to take accountability for those own feelings and like assess that jealousy, because jealousy is a very normal feeling.
Yeah.
And I think we've had, and obviously if you're listening to this, you know who you are. We've had very authentic, very wonderful, close friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Be nothing but supportive. But if you're listening to this and you relate to those friends who never really make you feel good about something, there's always a backhanded compliment.
Yeah, it's like, oh, but like maybe you should do it this way, or like, oh, yeah, but don't you think that?
Like, or like, aren't you worried about this?
Right.
Or like, you know, just something
trying to like push you back down.
Something that is, you know, enough to be a compliment, but like you feel the resentfulness,
yeah,
you feel the jealousy.
Yeah.
If you have a friend when you're on the way up, or if you're doing something new and their support feels fake in any way, that is a really good time to assess that friendship, because
yeah,
that is where your real friendship colors will show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy to be someone's friend when they're in the mud and you're in the mud and everyone's in the mud.
Yeah.
But to be someone's friend, to be supportive when they're doing something,
like when they're like winning at life, like I'll speak to this on my behalf of our friendship. When Madison was getting into real estate and she was really succeeding, like making so much money, buying a house, buying a car, like has her career. And I was bartending, making like $20,000 a year, living at home with my dad, barely making enough money to like not even live, like not paying rent. Just didn't have a career path, feeling like absolute dog shit about myself. There was not one point where I was jealous or envious to the point where, like, of course there were feelings of like, God, why am I not doing that? But it was never like that I didn't want to see her winning.
It was never directed at me.
No. Yeah. And it was just obviously like, of course that's going to make me feel some type of way about my own situation. But it was never like, I am jealous of you, or I don't want to see you succeed. Like, I was so happy, genuinely happy and excited for you. And I think you know that, because I think you would have sensed it.
Absolutely.
If it was anything different.
Never felt anything different from you for even a second.
But I could definitely see, like, even in my situation the last year when I got a new job and started, like, kind of doing better for myself, like, you could see the people that weren't happy for me.
Misery loves company.
Yeah.
Especially if the misery isn't your real friend.
Right.
And when I was going through that point in my life, I had a lot of people not only treat me that way, like where they were jealous and weird and resentful, but also use me, like expect me to pay for things, expect me to do things. I had someone say to me, like, I think we went out to dinner, we got the check, and like, I was gonna pay. I always offer to pay.
Right.
It just kind of sat there for a second. We were talking. I really was gonna pay for it. And she goes, well, you know, you have more money in your bank account.
Huh.
I was like,
yeah,
what the fuck?
Yeah.
How is that even close to being relevant?
Yeah, so I work my ass off and you don't? Sorry.
Yeah, and not to mention, like, if you don't have it and you can't do it, that's mm-hmm. totally fine. All you have to say is, hey, like, I'm slacking a little bit right now.
Yeah, like, there's been so many times where you've covered me because I've been your broke-ass little friend. Like,
happily.
But I would never expect that of you.
And that's the difference.
And the second that I can pay it back, like, I'm like, I got you,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because it's not a you using me thing. It's a, oh, I can help you here, so I will.
Yeah.
And that's my thing, is like, I'm going to be so generous with people who would reciprocate that with me.
Mm-hmm.
But when someone is expecting something of you and will never reciprocate it, mm-hmm. I don't fucking care how high up you are in life. Like, you pull the rug.
Well, and I had a friend who, he made it in baseball, and he's making it in baseball, and he got like $1.3 million signing bonus out of college. And of course, that's a buttload of money, a buttload. Me when I'm sober.
A buttload, I know. Just like, when we've had a couple drinks of fucking shit, fucking
yeah,
ton.
I'm so wholesome tonight. Me, my Panda Bear milk tea drink. $1.3 million. And he was venting to me how he felt like he didn't have any real friends because of how much money he had. He felt like he could never tell if people were hanging out with him because they knew he had money, like if because he would pay for everything. And he was obviously way too nice because he would pay for everyone.
That's what the problem I had too.
And because I think he felt obligated to, because he knew he could afford it. But it was like, I don't think he minded the actual paying for things. It was more so just like feeling, are these people just here because I have money, or do they actually like me as a friend?
Yeah, absolutely. And it also gets to the point where, like, even if you do have money, it's nice for somebody else to like offer sometimes. Yeah. Not feel like you're just like the fucking cash cow.
Yeah.
And honestly, I stopped doing that. Because I did that for a year, my first year. Like, I'm not on here flexing. I didn't make a ton of money where I was just completely set and could do. But I made more money than I'd ever made in my life.
Yeah.
And so I felt comfortable doing that. Like, after a year of doing that, you go back and you look at your finances and how much money
you wasted.
You spent on other people who would never spend a dollar on you. I stopped doing that.
Yeah.
Like, I buy my closest friends drinks, my family dinner, but like, I'm not just gonna buy a round for the bar anymore.
And I think that says a lot about you and your character and like my friend that I was just talking about. And this was something that I've wanted to talk about on this podcast, and this kind of like ties in perfectly, is cheap people. Don't be friends with someone that's cheap, because someone that's cheap with their money is going to be cheap with their time, cheap with their attention, cheap with their friendship. Like, they're not going to, like, they're going to treat you the way that they treat their finances. Like, if they're not willing to splurge on something for you or for themselves, then they're probably not going to be very giving with their time. They're probably, and I think what it boils down to is they're probably a very selfish person. And it's funny how those things correlate, because you think, oh, they're just good with money. No, there's a difference between being good with money and being cheap. Like, I've had friends who are like, for example, which this is obviously a long time ago example, but I had a friend in high school whose parents were fucking loaded, okay? Rich as fuck. Like, had a gas card that they would fill up for her $80. Like, I worked for my money in high school. Otherwise, I did not drive a car because I did not have gas money. My parents were not, like, my parents provided a lot of shit for me in high school. Gas was not one of them.
Wasn't a free ride, though.
Like, if I wanted to fucking drive my car, I had to pay for my own gas.
Which, honestly, better on them, because, like, that makes a better human.
Right. So I just remember, like, in high school, she would drive somewhere and then ask us all to Venmo her for the gas.
That her parents
paid for. And I just remember being like, and she was like kind of a selfish person. And I think that they just correlate very well, because like, I've had other friends throughout my life too. Like, I'm a very giving, like, if I have money, I will absolutely spend it on you. And I wouldn't say I'm bad with my money. I'm just a giving, generous person. It's like generosity versus selfishness, you know, like you get what you give in this world. And if someone's asking you to buy them something, it's in my mind, I'm like, they must need it more than I do. You know what I mean? And I just think that it goes hand in hand with your character.
I mean, there's a huge difference, like you said, between being financially irresponsible and being stingy.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. Like, there's a quote that's like, someone who makes minimum wage will buy a round for their friends.
Mm-hmm.
And someone who makes $100 million a year is going to ask you $3 for the Uber.
Yeah.
And like,
which is crazy.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Like, I do understand to a certain extent, because I think people with a lot of money do get used. So they kind of start to get over it. But for somebody who, especially someone who's handed everything, they lack generosity. They lack that selflessness that comes from learning to work for your money. And like, understanding that being financially responsible does not mean that you have to be cheap.
Yeah. And I'm not saying like, if someone goes and buys everyone's dinner and puts it on their card, that like, that's them being generous and no one has to Venmo them, or like, it's bad if they're like, hey, can you Venmo me for your portion of the dinner? Like,
yeah,
that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if it's a $10 Uber and they're like, hey, there's like six people in the car, and then they send you a Venmo request for like 60 cents a piece. I've literally, I'm not even joking, gone out with a group of girls before where everyone split the Venmo. So we were all Venmoing, like, I'm not joking, 30 cents a piece.
Back and forth to each other over
the
night.
At this point, I was like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, how about one person just gets the fucking
And I'll
Uber
get the next one.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, let's just, if you're really good friends with people, I get if you don't know people, but it's like 30 cents, bro. Like, good God. How about let me just pay for the whole fucking
thing? I got it.
Thing?
Like, I got it. Yeah.
Like,
but
come
that's
on.
The thing is, like, you know, especially with friends that you trust and people that you know, it's so easy. You're like, I got this drink, you got the next one. And like, that is so reciprocated.
Yeah.
It's hard going out with people that you don't know. Even at that point, though, I'm still like, I got this one, you got the next one. Do they always get the next
one?
No,
but it usually, it's not like a $900 tab. tab or even like an $80 tab. It's like a $5 drink.
Yeah. You know? And like, I don't care because I like being generous. Like I like that feeling.
I do too.
I like being able to share and like provide and like make people happy. Mm-hmm. And if someone can't do that back, that's totally fine.
Yeah. Like I'm not doing it in hopes that you do it back. Mm-hmm. You know, like some days I'm just feeling extra generous. But I think just as a life lesson, when you're picking your friends or paying attention to the people in your circle, if someone is stingy and cheap, they're probably not that great of a person.
Probably a little bit selfish.
And I know that sounds kind of funny, but it does correlate. I'm saying pay attention to it and you'll notice.
On the topic of being financially responsible, can we fucking talk about this economy for a hot second?
Oh my God, yeah. A bad therapist talking about the economy,
talking
guys.
Talking about buying each other drinks in this economy.
Buckle up for this segment.
This economy is absolutely brutal. So I do understand people being a little stingier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
buying like, someone a drink in this economy.
It's like $15 to buy someone a drink. Used to be like $5.
Yeah, you have to give up your fucking dinner to buy someone a drink nowadays.
It's funny because I saw this TikTok that was like, instead of price tags, they were putting like the price of things into hours of work for like a minimum wage. And it was like bobby pins, 3 hours of work. A Starbucks soda. A Starbucks soda? Jesus. A Starbucks coffee, 2 hours of work. And then when you look at it like that, it's like,
like
100% fuck that.
Fuck that.
I'm not going to go buy you a $15.
Like you're telling me I'm working a 9-to-5 so that I can afford bobby pins and a soda?
And a Starbucks soda. Well, and I think that's
the Starbucks soda.
That's the issue for people who make minimum wage. In this economy, I mean, you can't afford to eat, let alone pay rent.
Well above minimum wage. And I am struggling to afford life.
Yeah.
Like, and like fucking crazy.
And you're trying to get your own apartment and just think about everything that you have to take on when you're living on your own. The bills, the electric bill, the water bill, the phone bill, the Wi-Fi bill.
And it wasn't that long ago when I was making minimum wage. Like, I just want to put that out there because I just made myself sound like a huge fucking cunt the way that I said that. Like, my point with saying that is like, when I was making minimum wage, I actually couldn't believe how impossible it felt to live. And I know that there are people out there that work minimum wage jobs and are supporting like a family and themselves and living on their own. Like, I was lucky I lived with my dad. I didn't have to pay rent and I was still fucking poor.
Well, that's the thing is like, you had someone to lean on, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that don't have anyone to lean on.
I honestly can't imagine what that is like. And you know, you make it work. Like, I'm sure if I was in that situation, like, you make it work, but how? Like, because even though I wasn't in that like life or death type of situation, I was racking my brain trying to figure out how the fuck to get out of the hole that I was in, you know?
You live in Section 8 housing and you're on food stamps.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get boba tea. You don't get to like splurge or enjoy anything. Every penny has to be accounted for at that level.
Yeah.
And it is just not, it's a brutal way of living. And you'd think that with how bad inflation has gotten, they would have adjusted the economy a little bit, but like not really.
No.
I mean, they say you have to make $120,000 a year in order to be like a median comfortable family.
Mm-hmm.
$120,000 like 6 years ago used to be like, you were well fucking
upper
off.
Class. Yeah. Yeah. That's like the middle class nowadays.
Yeah. And
if,
I mean,
if that.
The interest rate on houses right now, the mortgages that people are taking on, the car payments that people are taking on, everything is exponentially more expensive when people are not getting paid exponentially higher. And that's why when the market crashed in 2008 and in this economy as well, the $250,000 to $500,000 income demographic of families and people are the most fucked and the most broke group of people. That group of people, obviously, even in this economy, are really well off. Mm-hmm. And I was guilty of it when I had a good year of living above your means. Mm-hmm. That's what happens when you start making that much money, especially consistently. You start buying things that, well, you can afford, right?
Yeah, because especially like when I would say you're new to making this much money because you're thinking, wow, I have so much money to spend and like,
yeah,
I've never had so much money and I can afford this and I can afford that. But then you spend it and it's gone. It might come back or it might not, but you're kind of rolling the dice, especially when you don't have a savings or you haven't invested it into anything. Like, you spend it on a watch or a car or a house. You maybe can afford on paper, but like realistically 10 years from now, is that the best, or even a year from now, is that the best way to place to put your money?
Financial decision. Well, yeah. And that's what happens when real life happens. Somebody broke their leg, they can't work. God forbid somebody dies. Mm-hmm. God forbid the market crashes, the economy crashes, stocks are at an all-time low, the housing market is down, and you are not making that much money anymore, but you still have all those big boy bills.
Mm-hmm.
You have a $6,000 mortgage, you have a $2,000 car payment. You are living above your means because you could at the time. You were comfortable on paper. Okay, mm-hmm. It works. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so that's what happened. And that's what happens is people get too big for their britches.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like I said, I was guilty of it. Right. Like, the first thing I did was went out and bought a white Lexus.
Yeah.
Like, Girl, you are 22 years old. Relax.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think especially in the way of the world with like all these children making a ton of money super young nowadays, because that seems so normalized with social media and all these influencers. I wonder, and obviously I don't know their financial situation, but I look at them buying these huge houses and like leasing these really expensive cars. Like they are just blowing through their money. And these social media platforms aren't going to be around forever. And like, you know, you're speaking more in terms of like business people and stuff like that. I see that too. It's actually kind of comical, the things that I would see people buying.
Yeah.
That, like maybe you can afford it today.
But it's such an up and down.
But is that like all you have to your name that you're putting on this this item just to like say you have it to fit in with everyone and make yourself look like
you're a status thing,
yeah,
right?
Like go invest your money or I don't know, like you were saying you buy a house you can't afford, but at least you like buy a house, like something that's concrete, get one you can afford. But like people that are spending their money on
nonsense, buy a house, buy a car. Buy investments though. Don't buy things because you want the status. Like this is my financial advice to anyone and something I've really learned watching my clients, especially a lot of my investor clients, is they don't buy things that don't cash flow or don't make sense. It doesn't matter how much money they have. They don't buy things because they look cool or they sound cool or they smell cool or they're flashy. They smell cool.
Jesus, wait, I'm leaving that in.
They buy things because they make sense for the future.
Right.
And you have to have a squirrel fund because bad shit happens. We all know that.
I saw something. Hold on. I need to think of what it was. I saw this lady talking about the key. I forget who I saw saying this, but it was some lady being interviewed about what the real meaning of wealth is and how as a woman specifically, she's managed to maintain like a certain level of wealth. And there's a difference between having money and having wealth. She said that the only way to have wealth, like true wealth, like you can have money, but money is not going to last forever because you have to spend it. The way to have wealth is to put your money that you have into something that will multiply your money. Like your money's having babies essentially while you're sleeping. Like you're not doing anything. You put your money somewhere and it's having babies. It's multiplying.
It's making money without you trying to make money.
Yeah. And so whatever that means to you, you need to find something that you can invest in. Maybe it's a product that you develop or maybe it's a business or it's something that you, to each their own, right? But find a way to make your money multiply.
Make your money make money.
Yeah. Because if you're making X amount a year, that's great, but you're making a capped income essentially. But when you then take your capped income and invest your money into making more money, then you have wealth.
I think a big thing that a lot of people don't know, especially people that aren't millionaires and billionaires and investors, people don't know this stuff, is that your money sitting in your savings account is not doing you any good.
Right.
Like you should be investing. I don't care if you make $7 an hour at McDonald's. I don't care if you make $700,000 a year. You should be investing every spare cent that you can into an S&P 500 or a Roth IRA. Talk to a financial advisor. The best decision you will ever make in your entire life is to start investing money young. It will multiply exponentially. And by the time that you're getting ready to retire or you do want to invest in a business, you will actually have something to pull from.
You cannot save your way to wealth and you cannot earn your way to wealth. The only way to achieve wealth is to invest it.
And that's absolutely true. Like, I know I just said this, but like, I'll say it again for the people in the back. Your money sitting in your savings account is depreciating in value. Mm-hmm. Inflation is going to be faster and bigger than that investment account or than that savings account in your, like, you know, whatever, your Wells Fargo bank account or whatever. Mm-hmm. You have got to, I mean, you have to have some money to fall back on, right? Like, mm-hmm. if something bad happens, liquid money. But like, I'm talking maybe 3 months tops of being able to like cover your bills or whatever. Every single penny besides what you absolutely need should be invested in something. I'm not going to say what that is because I'm not a fucking financial advisor. Mm-hmm. That's why I have one. But like, don't let being scared of investing your money, let your money just sit there and depreciate in value.
I 100% agree. And I think this is the first year where I've actually had enough money to invest or put into anything else other than just fucking survival, right? So that's nice. And I look forward to letting that grow and develop. And also not only investing into certain things and Roth IRAs and stuff like that so that it appreciates over time. But I also look forward to investing in myself and my own personal brand and creating businesses for myself to create money over time, passive income such as that. Because the best way that you can invest your money is into yourself and creating other streams of income. You know, they say like every billionaire or millionaire has at least 7 streams of income.
Passive income in their sleep.
Doesn't even have to be passive, but like at least 7 streams of income.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like it's not a one size. You're not going to become filthy rich off of one thing.
No.
Like I and I think that's another really good point, is like, scared money doesn't make money. Like, investors, the super rich, even, you know, the middle rich, above average, they didn't make money by saving money in their bank account. They made money by taking risks.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, invest in assets, don't invest in liabilities.
Yeah.
But you have to invest. How many times am I going to say invest in this podcast?
But I think the best thing to invest into if you are scared, because some people like don't have money that they could just throw away into like a huge investment. We're not saying go and gamble, but invest it into yourself. Like, create something for yourself. It might not work right out of the gates, but you don't have to invest millions of dollars into a business. Like, for example, when we invested into this podcast, we both split a pretty decent cost, but it was nothing crazy. It was nothing that we couldn't bounce back from. Say it all failed. We made no money on it.
Yeah, like it hurt a little bit, but like, it's okay.
But it was worth it. Yeah. We were like, it's an investment for ourselves, for a business, for something that would be passive income, a second stream of income for both of us. And that's what it's become. And now we are adding a third stream of income, which is our merch, and so on and so forth. We're just going to keep building our empire, basically. And we want everyone that's listening to this podcast to fucking do that with us.
Like, something you can consistently pursue. Something that you have a passion for.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter what it is. As long as it's, you can't get content.
Yeah.
In your 9-to-5 and in your paycheck to paycheck, because if you do, you'll never be able to break out of that cycle.
Yeah, like you'll be making ends meet. You'll be financially stable, but you'll never be wealthy. And that's what I was trying to get at earlier, is like, there's a difference between being financially stable and having wealth. And the only way to break out of that cycle, like you just said, and find true wealth is to take risk, invest, take a chance on yourself. And I believe that every single person has something unique to share with the world. That's going to be your golden ticket.
Your gift. Yep, absolutely.
That's going to be your golden ticket, whether it's knowledge about something or entrepreneurship or your creativity or whatever it may be to you. Because I know as I'm speaking, everyone's thinking of that one thing that they have to offer that's unique. And the only thing holding you back right now is that you're just too scared to take a chance. You're scared of what people are going to think about you, putting yourself out there. Now in this day and age is the easiest time to capitalize on these things, because we have social media. We have the biggest marketing platform in the world at our fingertips
to connect with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, big companies back in the day used to have to hire and spend millions of dollars for marketing teams and marketing ploys and all of this shit.
Door to door.
Just to get their name out there. Right. Whereas now you can just literally, by the click of your finger, in your bedroom, from your bed, market yourself to the entire world.
And with that, obviously, comes a lot more competition too, right?
Oversaturation.
Right. But like, that's why you have to find a niche.
Yeah, that's why you have to be unique.
And consistent.
Yeah.
I think that's something a lot of people too are like, you get discouraged because there's so many people doing the same thing you hear on social media all the time. Look at this digital marketing. I made 100K in 3 days. Like, all this bullshit that saturates your timeline. It's discouraging. It's not encouraging.
No, and I'll say this. When we first started this podcast, Madison was like, I don't understand how this is going to work. There's so many fucking podcasts. I'll give you our secret right now. Here's the secret sauce. We have not skipped one single week. We have not gone 1 week since we've started where we haven't posted a podcast, where we haven't posted a reel, where we haven't posted multiple reels. We have pushed through the days where we didn't want to do this. We have filmed twice in 1 week because the podcast didn't turn out the way that we wanted it. We've taken it seriously and we have not quit on ourselves.
Consistency.
It's consistency. And I know that they say like consistency is key and it sounds so fucking cliche, but it is so true. That is the only advice I have for anyone that wants to, even if it's start a podcast, anything. If you just stay consistent, make a pact with yourself, set a goal for yourself. We said we were going to post once a week for an entire year straight. That's 52 podcasts every week without fail. And so far we've done it and we don't plan on quitting anytime soon.
No, absolutely. And like you said, consistency is key with anything. Like, you can put that in terms of a podcast, real estate. I know there's a lot of people that want to get their real estate license or do get their real estate license and drop out. Like, 98% of agents stop being agents within the first 2 years.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy numbers. When it comes to something like entrepreneurship, you need to have accountability.
And grit,
you need to have like motivation, self-motivation.
And the thing with motivation is I think everyone at this point in your life knows that motivation is not something that we wake up every day with. Because let me tell you, tonight we did not want to film. Neither of 0%. Us did. We have had a long ass week. We didn't tell you guys this in the beginning. We filmed this exact podcast on Friday and we scrapped the entire thing.
In the trash.
We did not want to be here. We're tired. It's Monday. We're not drinking, so our energy is obviously low. It's just, it's been a long week. We got a lot going on. But being motivated wasn't a question of whether or not we were going to film tonight. Because we have to, because this is a promise that we made to ourselves. And another thing that's funny about being an entrepreneur and being a self-employed person, essentially, is no one's forcing us to do this.
No.
Like, we could easily say, hey, we don't really feel like doing this tonight. Let's just skip it.
Let's skip this week. Yeah.
But no, we've made a commitment to ourselves. And that's something that, like, if you're listening to this and you're saying, damn, I don't have that type of accountability and control. I honestly am not really that good with that either. I think this is the first thing that I've ever really been super consistent with. And I don't know, I guess my advice to that would be find someone that motivates you, that pushes you, because that's Madison for me. Because if I was doing this by myself, I don't know if I would have stuck with it this long or been able to be this consistent. But because I have somebody else that I have to show up for.
Like, you have to show up for me. Yeah, I have like to show up for you.
Exactly. Like, it's not just me in this, because I think it's easier to quit on ourselves than it is to quit on the people that we care about. And so find your why in life and like really hold that and remind yourself what your why is. Be careful with who you go into business with, but it might help you stay a little consistent if you have a partner that...
An accountability partner. Yeah, that's a huge thing in weight loss and money making and business, whatever it is. An accountability partner, like you said, it's a lot easier to give up on yourself than to disappoint someone who has expectations of you.
Yeah.
And you can't always control when you're going to be motivated, but you can always control your level of consistency. Consistency is a choice. And so this isn't meant to sound like uppity or like we're trying to give people advice.
Yeah, because I, especially with this topic, like, I know it's not that easy, you know, it's easier said than done.
We've all fucking been there.
But I will say, like, I wish I had someone telling me these things when I was trying to figure this out for myself. And I did. I had my last job, my boss, he was a huge like role model and mentor to me when it came to finance, because I had never really been shown or taught or knew anything about it. And I kind of would listen to the things he would say just from working and editing for him. And I learned a lot. And so it's really like another tip that I have, just like an overall life tip, is surround yourself with people that know more than you. You don't ever want to be the smartest person in a room. If you're the smartest person in a room, go find a different fucking room.
You're in the wrong fucking room.
Because seriously, if you're not learning something in every room you go into, then you're in the wrong room. You're never going to exceed. You're never going to level up if you're surrounded by people that are always learning and taking from you. And it's great. Like, give. But you also have to take for yourself sometimes. And in those situations, you're not just taking because maybe you're helping your mentor with their business and with what they're doing, but you're absorbing. Like, be a sponge. Absorb what they're doing and what they're saying and learning. And then when you feel like you outgrow that room, go find a new room.
Well, and that goes into being uncomfortable and challenging yourself. And that's like all of this kind of lumps into one. People get complacent. And I understand, like, we have, there's so many things to distract yourself with these days. How many fucking countless hours have you spent scrolling on TikTok, on Instagram?
When I have no time to be doing that, times, I do it every day.
Right. Like, you don't have the time, but you find it. How much time have I spent reading stupid fictional smut books? Like, they don't give me any knowledge. Yeah, it's fun. It's enjoyable. How much time do you spend binge watching TV?
But I will say, like, I know we could be like those podcasts and those guys that are like, stop watching TV. You're never going to be successful. You're wasting your time. Like, it's okay at the same time to find pleasure in stupid ass shit that's draining your brain and frying your brain. Like, that's part of the enjoyment of life.
Absolutely.
Like, if we just spent all of our life and all of the hours in the day focused on money and our business and this and that, like, yeah, you'd probably be really successful. You'd also probably be really unhappy.
Well, totally. And that's why, like, to finish what I was saying, I'm never giving up my smut books. Never. Okay. You can't fucking make me. But you have
I love my brain rot days where I just scroll on TikTok and become dumber by the end of the day. Like, I will never give those days
up. Like, your last two brain cells are like, TikTok.
Like, no one speak to me. It's TikTok.
You're absolutely right. This is not a red pill podcast. We're not sitting here, you can't fucking scroll on Instagram. Yeah. No, like, I do it all the time.
Yeah.
But to what I was saying, if you want to start pushing yourself and you want to challenge yourself, just start time blocking. Because that's something that I had to do, is like, if I didn't set time blocks for myself, I would do it for hours and hours. I would be up reading until 4 or 5 in the morning.
See, I don't have that fucking
problem. Go the fuck to sleep.
Yeah.
And like, your whole day is messed up. So absolutely make time for yourself. Make time for things that are stupid and irrelevant and to relax and to let your brain calm down. But also time block and show up for yourself.
Yeah, like, be responsible. Hold
yourself accountable. Yeah. Because like we said, motivation comes and goes. Consistency is something that you can choose.
Yeah. So on to the last topic of the night, which kind of ties into the like financial friend like vibe that we've been going on about. Coachella just happened. Apparently Coachella was a lot more fun this year than it's been any other year, which I thought it was falling off. Like, there were rumors the last couple of years because it hasn't, it's just been overran with influencers. And I was just watching all of these influencers post and, you know, all these brand deals and brands that pay for them to go to these festivals. And I'm thinking, God, that would be so cool and this, this and that. And then I'm sitting here thinking these motherfuckers make more money than any of us, and then they get paid to go on these trips where we're spending, like, the average person spends thousands and thousands of dollars between hotel, travel, outfits, drugs,
people
alcohol.
Are saving up, like, for a year to be able to do this
when the most wealthy people in our age group are getting paid to go. And let me just say, I get it, get your bag, like, that's what they do, they've earned that, you know. But it's funny because then that also brought me to the thought process of thinking about, like, let's say the Kardashians, who have literally more money than any other family combined.
Than any person would ever need in any lifetime.
Yeah. And they get so much shit for free.
Every PR box, like, everything that's ever been released.
They probably
ever.
Get discounts on planes and free rides here and free this and free dinners. And then we're out here like just struggling to get by. It's just like, look, I get it. They get these things because of who they are and because of the, you know, the eyeballs that they bring onto certain brands and stuff like that. But it's just the way the world is so twisted sometimes, because us average folk, as so to speak, would be spending an arm and a leg, their whole entire life savings, to do one of the things that these celebrities get to do for free, just to like exist in their world.
The rich get richer.
I know. And the poor get poorer.
Like, that's a real thing.
The rich eat the poor, literally.
No, they literally eat them.
Yeah.
They cook them and eat them. And like, that's a real fucking thing.
They cook them and eat them.
they actually.
They season them up, yeah. Some garlic salt.
Yeah. And like with everything, and that's not, it's not just celebrities either. Like, the rich are always pushing the agenda to get richer while the poor are getting poor. And I know that sounds very conspiracy and like, oh, yeah. But like, it's fucking true.
Yeah. It's just the way the world is molded nowadays. And there's no real point to this besides me wanting to just rant about it, because I just think it's so unfair that these people with all this money get all this free shit. Like, I'd like PR boxes, like this, like a brand, like, let's just, for example, this isn't a real example, but like Hailey Bieber Road skincare line came out. It's super expensive. It's not even like, I mean, it maybe it's really good product, but like, it's pretty fucking expensive for what it is.
Just because it's her.
Because it's her. And all these influencers are getting the entire line for free. And then all of us regular normal people, I don't want to say regular and like offend anyone, like I'm grouping myself in with that.
100%.
We have to pay full price. We're paying like our whole fucking week's paycheck to get this shit when these influencers are making money and getting it for free.
Well, totally, because they post it on their story and it gets saturation. People see it, right? That's the whole fucking
point. I get it, but it's like they have the actual means to go purchase it, whereas we don't.
So like go buy one, send that one to somebody else.
Like, at the very least, it's like, can they just go purchase it and then promote it and make money off of it that way? Like, they should still have to buy it. I mean, I don't know.
No, I totally get it. But it's like, of course, in a different perspective, if someone offered me a free trip to Coachella,
oh, I would take it in a heartbeat.
100%. No. But also, we're not in that group of people.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not hating on it. I'm just saying, like, even if that were happening to me, I would still be able to be self-aware enough to be like,
it's a twisted fucking world.
It's unfair. Like, it's
there's
just
people that
brutal.
Can't afford to eat, and yeah, I'm going to Coachella for free.
Yeah,
Coachella. Why do I say it like
I
that?
I don't know. You say things weird. Sometimes.
Coachella.
Coachella. Yeah.
I'm Italian. I don't
That's
know.
Not why.
It's just my excuse.
It's just your.
It's because I have a wet brain.
Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. It's a twisted world. And, you know, if anyone was, you know, considering offering us a free trip to Coachella,
like my email address is pod.badtherapy@gmail.com. But don't worry about it if not. But if so, you can also contact.
Don't worry about it. Don't deal. Well, that's it for the financial literacy pod tonight. You know, a couple of very financially literate
girls.
Yeah,
you know, I think a lot of the girlies will be surprised by this pod that we actually have more to offer than just shaking our yams and
then yam shaking and talking about boys.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah, right.
At the end, we always do that at the end.
I know.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you for the love and support. Don't forget about our merch launch.
If you guys buy anything, please post and tag us. I really want to see everyone rocking our hats. I want to know which ones you guys like the best. Tag us at Bad Therapy Pod on Instagram, or send it to us, DM us, and we'll repost it. And yeah, we're super excited. And we will see you guys
next Friday.
Okay.
God, we always say the opposite.
I know.
Next Friday, next week.
Next week, whatever. Cheers me with my fucking boba milk tea and your sparkling water. Bye.
Sober pod.